Hope everyone's had a good week. You know, it's always, the weeks are always challenging. It doesn't matter what it is. I think that the older it is that you get in life, it's always a fight. It's a fight to get up to go to work. It's a fight to do everything. You got health problems. You got this. You got that. You know, when you're young, you know, you're dapper and, you know, you just go about your business and as if there's no care. Yeah, but I have some great news this morning that I want to share with you guys. Okay? You know, both Angela and I have been getting together with, I'm sure you guys have met Eve and Vanessa. Okay? And they're the couple right over there. A little bit shy, maybe. You know, but we've been getting together with them and, you know, we have been studying the Bible with them. And, you know, they've come from another congregation in Quebec. And since they've been here, they've been looking for a church. And, you know, they've gone to different places, checked out different places. And when they met upon us, they said, you know what, this is a place that we want to be. And, you know, I'm happy to say that now they are a part, they are a member of our church here in Ottawa. Amen? Amen. Eve told me he doesn't like the spotlight, but sorry, brother. Oh, man. Well, this morning, I want to talk about a subject that is very, very challenging. I know it is challenging for me. And as I was doing it, as I was putting it together, believe me, I was like, oh, my goodness. I'm literally speaking about myself at times. And so this morning, the message is called The Sin of Judging. And, you know, judging, it's everywhere. It's everywhere in our society. It's almost like it's something that we love to do. We just love to judge. I don't know what it is. It's our human nature to want to do it. You know, but let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, and let's see what Jesus teaches on the subject of judging. You know, but this morning my goal, okay, is not so that we can feel bad, okay? That is never the purpose of any message. But this morning, I want us to really dig deep into the scriptures and to see what Jesus said about it, to see what the Bible says about it, and that we will nail it to the cross and we will leave it there. Because oftentimes, we don't see it as a regular sin. We really don't. You know, we see it as something that's separate from perhaps Galatians 5. You know, but it actually is a sin. So let's see what Jesus says here. He says, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces." You know, but this verse, again, it is one of the most misunderstood, misused, and disobeyed in the Bible. One of them. You know, but the word judge in the Greek, it's krino. It embraces a wide range of meanings. It literally means to separate in the sense of sifting, to pick out, select, and to choose. And it's also used to express a preference. In the New Testament, it is found as a legal and semi-legal term with complex meanings related to the judicial system, which is the exact meaning of the word in this context. You know, the first thing that we need to understand about this passage is that it is a command. We often don't see it that way. But it is a command. The command not to judge is followed by a warning, or you too will be judged. In verse 3, Jesus explains what type of judging he's talking about. He says, "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye?" So what is he saying? Whenever we judge, there's always a plank in our eye. It's always there. Then he goes on to say, you hypocrite. Okay, again, okay, I don't want anyone to feel bad. Trust me, I'm in this too. We're all hypocrites at times. You know, and the word hypocrite, we know what that means. It means you actor. You know, but Jesus warns about the hypocritical type of judging that points out wrongs in others and ignores the wrongs in one's own life. See, Jesus' teaching here is focused on the attitude of a man. You know, Jesus ends a passage by letting us know that we need to remove the plank from our own eyes, then we will be able to see and to help our brothers. You know, the passage speaks against all types of judgmental attitudes. You see, when we try to make others look less than we are by pointing out their sin without acknowledging our own sin. He says, take the plank out of our own eyes first, means we must first judge ourselves. We have to first judge ourselves. If we don't, then we are being hypocritical. And we are being commanded here not to be hypocrites. You see, when we judge ourselves, we remember and recognize that we are sinful. Then, when we see our own sin, we are able to approach and to deal with other sin with love, humility, because we identify with them. Amen? In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18, let's see what it says there. Sorry, wrong way. You know, it talks about, actually, verse 14 is here. It talks about Jesus. You know, it talks about, you know, why, you know, he came. Thank you. To destroy the power of the evil one. But in verse 18, which is not there, it teaches that he's able to help us in our sins. At the end of the verse there in verse 18, it teaches us that he's able to help us in our sins because he was tempted and is able to help all who are being tempted. So he does not judge us, but he helps us. That's Jesus. Amen? In Matthew chapter 7, verse 5 says that when we judge ourselves first, we will be able to judge with love. So when Jesus says don't judge, he's talking about people with a judgmental spirit. It's pretty much what he's talking about. A judgmental spirit, a critical spirit, and a condemning attitude that focuses on others' faults and seeks to tear them down and is negative and destructive in attitude. That's the kind of judging Jesus is condemning. In Romans chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, it says, you therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else. For at whatever point you judge another, you are condemning yourselves, because you who pass judgment do the same things. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere human being, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Very, very convicting. Very, very powerful stuff. You know, but here Paul warns about having a judgmental heart, and that when we judge, it is the same as passing judgment on someone. You know, Paul's in verse 3, he says that when you, a mere man, pass judgment, indicates that it is not our role or place to judge. He says, we're just mere men. That's what he's saying. You're just a man. Who are you to judge? We can't judge. So when Jesus says, don't judge, he's not asking us to stop or to give up the judgment of discernment. I want us to understand that. He's not asking us to give up all types of judgment, the judgment of discernment. You see, what Jesus commands us to stop is the judgment of condemnation. You see, we cannot turn a blind eye on sin and pretend it's not there. Amen? We can't. We always have to address things like that. So we know that that's not the kind of judgment that Christ is talking about. in Matthew chapter 7, the previous scripture that I just read in verse 6, you see, Jesus is calling us to the judgment of discernment. He says that we should be able to know who the dogs are and who the pigs are. Kind of sounds harsh, doesn't it? But that's the way he put it. He said, you should be able to know. Therefore, he's actually calling us to make a discernment in judgment. He's saying, don't throw your pearls to pigs. He said, don't do it. He said, you're going to have to make a judgment. You're going to have to know when not to cross the line. You see, we are called to look in verse 15 in Matthew chapter 7. I'm not going to turn there, but we are called to look out for false prophets. And it gives us clues of how we can know who they are. So obviously we know that Jesus is calling us to have judgment of discernment. He's not calling us to totally give it up. And that when somebody has sin in their life, to totally ignore it. That's not what he's calling us to. Let's move on. In John chapter 7, verse 24, he says, stop judging by mere appearances, but instead judge correctly. You see, we're called not to judge by just appearance, but are commanded to make a righteous judgment. John chapter 5, verse 30, it says, Jesus is speaking here, says, by myself, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. You see, Jesus only used judgment of discernment as they received it from God. See, if we seek and follow the true will of God, which can only be found in his word, when it comes time for us to help people discern between right and wrong, we will not judge with our own opinions or what we think is right. But we will judge. But just like the mind that Jesus had to judge only as he heard from the Father, we too will seek only to do the will of God by following the limitations for judgment that are taught throughout the Bible. Amen? The only thing we are to do in order to judge righteous judgment is to hear God's word and judge using his standards. Let's move on. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 15, it says, if you bite and devour each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. Another powerful scripture. And this is coming from Paul. He says that if you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. Biting and devouring each other is another way of saying criticizing each other. That's another way of saying criticizing each other. You see, the spirit of criticism has the power to destroy. And if continued, we will eat each other up. That's how he ends it. You're going to bite each other and eat each other up. And in the end, what does he say? There'll be nothing left. And this can be applied to anywhere. It could be in the household with your family. It could be at work with your workplace. It could be at school. It could be on the plate. You just find this thing. It's everywhere. It is very, very rampant in our society. And I don't think anybody likes to be judged. I know I don't. I know that I kind of avoid people who judge me. I avoid it. Oh, yeah, I'm afraid. I'm just like, oh, my gosh, this person's just going to look at every little nitty-gritty thing and judge me by it, And like, my goodness. I'm telling you, sometimes I go the other way whenever I see a judgmental person. Or somebody who's gonna always be a critic and criticize. It is not fun. None of us like it. None of us like it. But yet we do it. All of us have done it one time or another in our lives. And the Bible says that it is a sin. Let's move on. James chapter 4, verse 11 through 12. It says, brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or a sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but you are sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? Who are you to judge your neighbor? We are commanded not to slander or judge our brother. So, let us look and see some examples of what judging others does not mean. Number one, it is not judging someone to be discerning about his character or teaching. Okay, that's number one. Number two, it is not judging someone to speak to him or others about a sin or false teaching. It is not judging someone to evaluate their spiritual maturity or their doctrinal views for ministry or shepherding purposes. We need to know that there are certain things that we can definitely judge and certain things that we can't. So what judging others wrongly means, and this list is kind of long. What judging others wrongly means. You see, when you criticize him or her out of jealousy, bitterness, selfish ambition, or other sins, rather than seeking to build him up in Christ. Our mindset of always, even when we correct someone, our mindset of always got to be, how am I going to build this person up in Christ? It is never to tear them down and just to leave them in destruction, to leave them falling apart. That should never be our motives. Motives are crucial. And James says, do not slander one another. And slander means maligning someone or damaging the person's reputation by sharing false or deliberate misleading information. You judge someone wrongly when you assume that you know all the facts and motives behind the person's words or actions. You judge someone wrongly when we do that. You see, unless we have solid evidence, we are on shaky ground to judge another person's motives. Can't. Only God knows the deep things of the heart. Only he knows the makeup of a man. So we can't go there, but oftentimes we go there. We go to places, and this is why he says, who are you to judge your neighbor? Who are you to judge your neighbor? The hard things. Do you really know what's going on inside that person's heart? No, we don't know. You judge someone wrongly when you set up human standards rather than holding to God's word as the standard. You judge someone wrongly when you do not first judge your own sin before trying to help him or her with their sin. That's a trick. Always remember that. Always look at yourself first. Always. It doesn't matter what it is. You might think that you're above this sin, you're above that sin, but trust me, the Bible says you do the same things. The Bible doesn't lie. You do the same thing. Whatever it is that you are correcting that person or condemning that person for, you do the same things. You judge someone wrongly when you share confidential information with the wrong intent. You judge someone wrongly when out of a self-righteous spirit, you criticize or malign over a minor or indifferent matter. You judge someone wrongly when you make an authoritative decision about their eternal destiny. My goodness, I've been there. Woo! When back in my young days, wow. I used to tell people, yeah, man, you know what? You're going to go to hell. If you don't repent, you're going to go to hell. Or I would say, yeah, man, because of your attitude right now, yeah, you're going to go there. That was not a good thing. And I remember me saying that, and the person took his finger, pushed it in my chest and goes, who do you think you are? And I'm just like, oh, man, okay, wow, is he going to punch me now? That was a bit scary, actually, that time. Yeah, but we can't make those kind of judgments. We're going to be tempted to make those judgments, to say, yeah, that person is definitely going to go there. But we can't. We have to refrain. We have to stop ourselves and refrain from going places like that. Only God holds those things in his hands. Only he knows. We can only tell people what the Bible says, but it should never be something that's final, to say that, yep, this is where you're going. You see, final judgment belongs to God. Only God knows the heart. To resolve conflicts, in our marriages or any other relationships, we need to stop judging one another. You see, James reveals to us the reason we should not judge others. When we do so, we make ourselves out to be judges of God's law rather than doers of God's law. We literally take God's place as lawgiver and judge when we do that. It is not our place. And set ourselves up in a position that belongs to God and God alone. If another person has wronged you, do not judge that person. I know, it's easier said than done, right? Wow, I'm convicting myself. It's true, it is easier said than done, but we have to refrain. We have to really listen to the words of Jesus and says, don't do it. This is only for God to do. It is only for God to do. If somebody has wronged you, the only thing that we need to do, we need to pray for that person. That's all it is that we need to do. I'm not saying to suck it up and that we're not going to be hurt, but we need to pray for that person. Pray for your heart also. You know, and remember that judging the other person is a sin against God. In verse 12, you see two questions are asked. It says, but you, who are you to judge your neighbor? Question mark. Who are you to judge your neighbor? And I hope that this morning, that through the spirit of the scriptures, that we can really see how wrong this is, guys. That we can really see how wrong this is, how serious this is. And we've all done it. But you know, amen. As what I said before, that we have to nail it to the cross. We really do. We nail all other sins to the cross. We nail sexual immorality, we nail lies, we just nailed it to the cross and we've left it behind. But these ones, we're just like, yeah, I'm going to hold on to it, I'm going to keep it because, yeah, that's my feelings, you know, and all these different things. But we have to really nail it to the cross. We have to leave it there and allow God to really work powerfully in our lives. But it says, but you, who are you to judge your neighbor? Implying, do you think you are God? And if not, you're not God, then why do you set yourself up in God's role? You see, when you find yourself judging someone or thinking judgmentally about others, it says, judge yourself, judge your pride. You see, God will judge the one you're judging. It is not our place to do so. Setting up ourselves as judges leads to many conflicts and broken relationships. And we need to humbly submit to God and His word and to seek out love and build up others. Amen? Lead into harmony and restored relationships. Wherever that it may be. It could be in a family setting. It could be in the, you know, obviously in the church. It could be anywhere. I'm not just talking about just one place, but it's our whole lives with this sin of judgment. So the next time you are tempted to judge, criticize, or be judgmental about someone, you see, remember the word of God in the book of James. Who are you to judge your neighbor? Judge yourself instead. Amen? Amen. Amen. At this time, we're going to watch a short video. And, you know, I'm a person that loves to, shows like American Idol. I love the X Factor. I love America's Got Talent. There are so many of them. But I really, really love those shows. And as you know what I mean, the guy that started all of these shows, you know his name. Simon Cowell, man, that guy is a judge. And as we know, sometimes he can be very, very judgmental. He can be very judgmental. He can be very critical, very harsh, you know. As he's getting older, though, he's actually getting better. But he was just very harsh in the way that he criticized somebody who was trying to sing or to show their talent, which I personally don't believe is the right way to go. But we're going to watch this video, and it's a video about Scarlett and Jonathan. Okay, and when Scarlett and Jonathan comes out on stage, you're gonna read it and see the comment that he makes about these two people. And eventually, his judgment is wrong. And these two people went on to win the whole contest of 2012. I think it's Britain. Britain's Got Talent. So that's what we're going to watch at this time. Amen.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
Good, nice to meet you. What's the act called?
Charlotte and Jonathan.
Charlotte and Jonathan. Okay. How old are you both?
I'm 16.
And I'm 17.
Okay. And you thought the combination would work. Whose idea was it?
It was our singing teacher's, actually. She thought it'd be good to try us out together. And we both sounded quite good when we sang what we did.
Okay. You're not saying much, Jonathan. Are you shy?
Sometimes. I've always had sort of problems with my size since I can remember. And when I was in sort of primary school, it was back then really that I had sort of the mick taken out of me, and it kind of damaged my confidence quite a bit. When people would say something to me, it'd just take a little piece out of me in a sense.
I'm quite protective of Jonathan. Like, if I was there and someone stood there and said something to him, I couldn't sit there with my mouth shut. Before you make a judgment on someone, I think you really need to get to know them. It's not as cliche as it's not judging a book by its cover. You've got to read what's inside.
Charlotte's been a really big help for me in terms of confidence and making me a better performer, and I really don't think I'd be going up on stage today if I didn't have Charlotte by my side.
And do you think you could win?
Yeah, together.
All right, good luck.
Good luck. Thank you.
Thank you.
Here we go.
That you can move an audience like that. You sing beautifully together. It was world class.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
A pop voice and an opera voice together. It was incredible. Okay. This is what I think. Charlotte, I think you're good, but Jonathan, you are unbelievable. You have an outstandingly good voice.
Thank you very much.
How old are you?
17.
I mean, that's unbelievable. Jonathan, you are a future star.
Thank you.
I like the fact that this works as a duo, but I worry, Charlotte, whether you're going to hold him back.
Well, we've come on here as a duo, and we're going to stay here as a duo.
OK, David, we better vote yes or no.
Oh, such an easy decision. Yes.
Thank you.
Definitely a yes from me.
Charlotte, I think your voice complements Jonathan's really well, so don't be disheartened. It's a yes from me.
You know, my head here would say to you, Jonathan, dump her. And then my heart would say there was something kind of magical at moments together as well. So I'm going to say yes to the two of you. You've got 4 years.
Thank you.
Yes! Well done!
Well done, Corey. Well done.
He's like a young Pavarotti, that boy.
Yeah.
I haven't heard a voice like that in years.
No, to be that young and that good.
Simon's a massive fan of you, isn't he?
Seems like it, yeah.
That is the biggest response we've had today.
Well.
Oh, my God.
Oh. Hold up, my pal. Do you think it could be life-changing?
Life-changing? Well, yeah, to be honest.
I think for you.
Yeah.